Hello, friends. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Campbell. It's great to have you here for day one of our newsworthy clips. And we have a very interesting topic today. Today we're talking about lies. Now, we all know it's not good to lie. And we all know that sometimes when you tell a small lie, they just get bigger and bigger and bigger. And now scientists have proved why. All right, but before we get into the article, let me introduce my friends here. We have Linda in the studio with us today. How are you, Linda?
I'm good. Thank you, Campbell. And it's always a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, well, it's always great to have you. Now, Linda, do you lie?
I do my best to never lie. I can't say that I've never told a lie before, but I really try not to lie.
That's good. I trust you. And Amanda, it's good to have you here as well.
It's good to be here too, Campbell.
Yeah. Now, Amanda, I know you try to be honest, right?
I try to be honest. But let's be honest. Sometimes I lie.
Yes. And I mean, we've all played games where, you know, part of the object is to trick the other players, right? You know, so you kind of tell a small lie and people have to guess which one is the lie. And we're not talking about that, but we're talking about when you tell little lies, right? We call them white lies or tiny fibs, as our title says, and why that could become something that is bad. Okay, well, our article today is on page 24, and again, we are studying our newsworthy clips for the month of April, and our article today is titled, Neuroscientists Show How Tiny Fibs Snowball into Big Lies. All right, interesting title. We'll talk a little bit about that later, but first, let's read the first column on the left-hand side.
Neuroscientists show how tiny fibs snowball into big lies. Findings published in the journal Nature Neuroscience demonstrate how self-serving lies can escalate and offer a window into the processes in the brain at work. It's commonly held wisdom that small transgressions often lead to bigger ones, study co-author Tali Shiro of University College London said. The researchers suspected this had to do with a biological process known as emotional adaptation, where over time the brain responds less and less strongly to a repeated stimulus. The first time you cheat, you feel quite bad about it, but that bad feeling keeps you from cheating a whole lot, she said. But over time, the brain reacts less and less, and a lower negative reaction could make it easier to lie the next time, the theory goes. So Shiro and her colleagues set up an experiment to see if this really was true.
All right, Linda, so what is the title of today's article?
Neuroscientists Show How Tiny Fibs Snowball into Big Lies.
All right, there are some words that I want to talk about here. What is a neuroscientist, Amanda?
A neuroscientist is a person who studies the science of the brain.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and we have the word snowball here. It's a verb. Okay, we usually see it as a noun. It's a ball of snow. But what does it mean when something snowballs?
It just gets bigger. And just like a snowball, it might start off as a little ball, but as you roll it, it accumulates more and more snow, and it gets larger and larger.
Right. Now, when I first read this title, I was just thinking, well, that's kind of obvious. Everybody knows that, right? You don't need someone to spend hours doing a science experiment or research to figure that out. You know, I thought this was talking about how sometimes when you tell a small lie, then you're going to need to tell another lie to cover it, and then you have to tell another lie to cover that, and then you have to tell another lie to cover that, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But that's not exactly what we're talking about today, is it, Amanda?
No, we're talking about actually how the brain actually does go from saying, you know, small lies to even larger ones.
Right. And so the idea here is that, you know, you might tell a small lie in the beginning, But then it just makes it easier and easier and easier for you to tell bigger and bigger lies in the future, right? And this is not something new. This is something that people have known for a while, but there were some scientists that wanted to study why that happened. All right. So they published their findings in the journal Nature Neuroscience. And what did this research demonstrate?
How self-serving lies can escalate and offer a window into the processes in the brain at work.
Right. So how little lies can get bigger and bigger and bigger and cause you to tell bigger lies in the future. And then also this study offered a window, which just means allowed us to look into the process of how the brain works. All right. So this next paragraph says, it's commonly held wisdom that small transgressions often lead to bigger ones. Do you agree with that, Linda?
I do. And, yeah, just like lies, or maybe further on, they give an example of cheating, mm-hmm. you know, any of these transgressions or wrongdoing, you know, small, you can also use the word sins, right? At first, it might seem, you know, small, but as you get over, you know, if you don't get caught, you get over that fear,
right.
And you're bolder in right. doing bigger and bigger yeah. transgressions.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty serious, but even little things like, you know, you're on a diet, right, and you're trying to lose weight, and you're trying to not eat junk food, and, you know, you just have one day where you're just like, I'm just tired of this diet. You know, it would just be great if I could just have just one chip. I'm just going to eat one chip, right? And next thing you know, you eat that one chip, and you wake up, and all of a sudden, the whole bag's gone, right? And so it's just like that one little thing, and then it leads to bigger and bigger, and just all of a sudden, you've eaten a whole bag of chips and kind of ruined your diet.
Yeah.
So this is commonly held wisdom. So this is something that a lot of people know. Small transgressions. What is a transgression, Amanda?
Well, a transgression is something that you've either broken a law or a moral law.
Mm-hmm.
So a moral or a value.
Mm-hmm. So these small transgressions lead to bigger ones. All right. Now, what did the researchers suspect?
They suspected that this had to do with a biological process known as emotional adaptation. And that's, this describes, over time, the brain responds less and less strongly to a repeated stimulus.
Right. So this is actually something that could be positive or negative, right? So let's say, for example, you're deathly afraid of public speaking.
Mm-hmm.
That is a strong stimulus for you. But, and the first time you do it, you might be scared out of your wits. But the more you do it, the more you get used to it, and the less scary it is, to the point where you just go up and there's no problem for you,
right?
And so it's kind of like that same process where eventually you kind of adapt to it. And so that's a positive example, but there can be negative examples. And that's what we're talking about today with this whole idea of transgressions, right? Maybe the first time you smoke a cigarette, you feel really, really bad about it. But then the next time you smoke, you feel less bad about it. And then eventually it just becomes a habit and you're just like, well, it's no big deal.
Mm. Right. I mean, your body physically has a strong reaction that first time you mm-hmm. inhale a puff of smoke. You know, you have a violent reaction.
Yep.
But then your body overcomes that the more mm-hmm. you keep smoking.
That's right.
That's why you shouldn't smoke.
Right. And so they give another example here. Can you read that for us, Amanda?
The first time you cheat, you feel quite bad about it. But that bad feeling keeps you from cheating a whole lot.
Right. But over time, what happens?
Over time, your brain reacts less and less, and so you have a lower negative reaction, and it makes it easier to lie or to cheat again.
Right. And so this is the theory, and Chereau and her colleagues, they wanted to prove if this was really true.
Right.
You know, and this kind of explains why there are people in the world who do terrible, terrible things. You know, you see people doing these things and you're like, how could anyone do that?
Mm-hmm.
How could anyone do that? But basically, it doesn't ever start off with that big, you know, that big thing that they did. It often starts off slow.
Right. Actually, we have a saying in English, to dull your conscience.
Mm.
Right.
Right.
And here it's just showing the science behind that. Like, the dulling is that the less stimuli you're getting.
Right.
And so your conscience here is being described in a scientific process.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, I think that's often why, you know, these terrorist organizations, they often start young, right? Mm. They start with children and they start teaching them things and training them. And so from a young age, they have this programming in their mind that, you know, certain things are okay and certain things are not okay. And it kind of causes them as they grow up to do things that, you know, most of us would be
horrified
about.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So how did this research get done? You know, what was the process? What did they set up? Well, let's finish this article on the right-hand column and find out more about this research project.
The researchers designed a set of two-person guessing games. 80 participants were asked to work with another person to guess how many pennies were in a jar. But by shifting who got the reward after each round, the scientists made several different versions of this game, some of which incentivized participants to lie. The scientists found that the first time people exaggerated the estimates at the expense of their partner, they stretched the truth only slightly. On top of that, a region of the brain called the amygdala, which is associated with emotion, lit up. But as the experiment went on, the exaggerations grew bigger, and the response from the amygdala declined. The larger the drop in activity in the amygdala, the bigger their future lies were. I think this studies the first empirical evidence that dishonest behavior escalates when it's repeated, when all else is held constant, and it ties this phenomenon to emotional adaptation, study leader author Neil Garrett of University College London said. I think it highlights the potential dangers of engaging in small acts of dishonesty on a regular basis, Garrett said.
All right, so how was this study set up?
Well, researchers got got a set of two-person guessing games.
Mm-hmm. So they designed a game, and this game involved two people, right? And it was a guessing game. How many participants were a part of this study?
They had 80 participants.
Right, okay, and what were they asked to do?
They were asked to work with another person to guess how many pennies were in the jar.
Okay, and that seems pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
But then they threw some variations into the game.
Right.
What did they do?
Well, they shifted who got the reward after each round.
Mm-hmm. And then the scientists made several different versions of this game, some of which incentivized participants to lie. What does that mean?
Well, we see the word incentive and incentivize,
mm-hmm.
and it means to give incentive to someone or to make somebody want to do something.
Right. So maybe they got a reward if they lied.
Right.
Right. Or there was, you know, if they kind of stretched the truth a little bit, there was some sort of
benefit
that they got, right?
Yeah.
And so what did they find in this process?
Well, they found that the first time people exaggerated the estimates at the expense of their partner, they stretched the truth only slightly.
Right. And so when we talk about at the expense of someone, we're talking about the idea of making another person look silly, or because you did something, someone else has to pay for the consequence.
Right. So it's at the disadvantage of the other person.
Exactly. So the first time, they stretched the truth only slightly, right, because they kind of felt bad, you can assume, right? You know, if it were me, I would probably I'd feel kind of like guilty, you know,
mm-hmm.
Because I was cheating kind of and causing a disadvantage to the other person.
Right.
You know?
So you only lie a little.
Right. Yeah.
Well, do I really deserve this?
Right, right. So then what happened though as they kept going though? Well, okay, sorry. So on top of that, a region of the brain called the amygdala, which is associated with emotion, lit up. So, again, the amygdala is a part of the brain, and it's a specialized term. Can you tell us more about that, Amanda?
Yeah, amygdala, it's almond-shaped, and it's a neural structure that is adjoined to the temporal lobe of the brain. And the reason it plays an important part in our body is because it processes our emotions, usually our emotions connected to fear, pleasure, and aggression.
Mm-hmm. So this part of the brain, this region of the brain, lit up whenever they kind of lied, the first time they lied, right? But what happened as the experiment went on?
Well, as it went on and they exaggerated more and more, or, you know, the lies got bigger, then the response from the amygdala declined. Mm-hmm. It didn't respond as it did the first time around.
Right. So the larger the drop in activity in the amygdala, the bigger their future lies were. So in a way, you kind of grew desensitized.
Right. Right, it became dull, or like we said in the first column, the brain's response were less and less to mm-hmm. that repeated stimulus.
Right. And I mean, it's not just with lies. I think, like we were talking about, there are a lot of things. But even in, you know, when we talk about violence, right? Mm-hmm. So why are some parents really cautious about allowing their children to watch violent movies? Because in a way, you kind of become what we say jaded, right? Mm. So desensitized to it. It's just like the first time you're kind of probably very affected by what you mm-hmm. see. But the more you see it, the more you're just like,
Right, it's not such
no
a big
deal.
Deal.
Right.
Yeah. I think that happens with us watching the news too. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was younger, to see something quite violent or graphic in the news, you know, we would be extremely shocked. Mm-hmm. But now it's happening, or we're being shown it on TV so often.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, oh, there it is again.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and I mean, this happens all the time, even physically, right? You jump into a really cold pool, what happens?
Oh, it's so cold. Your body goes into shock.
Yeah. But as you stay in there, your body kind of adjusts to the temperature, right? And then it kind of gets comfortable, and then you're just kind of like, no big deal, right? So this kind of happens in many different areas of our lives, both physically and mentally and emotionally. Our bodies adapt, right? And so in this case, we're kind of talking about a negative adaptation. They kind of adapt to this idea of lying, and it's just like, oh, you know, the first time you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just lied and I cheated. I can't believe I did that. But then the more you do it, you're just like, oh, no big deal, right? And especially if you're rewarded for it.
Right, right. You don't get caught.
Right, yeah. I think if you're punished, if there's a negative consequence, mm-hmm. I think that maybe causes you to be like, okay, wait, I don't want to do that. Mm. You know, because our bodies respond to pain and negative emotions.
Mm.
But when you're actually rewarded and there's a positive mm-hmm. that comes from it, and you're like, oh, this isn't so big of a deal. No big deal. And then you're just like, okay, let me try a little bit more. Let me try a little bit more, right? You just kind of, and I mean, you see this in children all the time. My kids are always testing the boundaries, always, right? And, you know, and you want to see how far you can get.
Right.
So I think it's really interesting, actually, that they did this study and they tried to prove scientifically why this happened.
I mean, it's interesting that not only is the amygdala's response declining, but then they were actually able to predict that when the amygdala wasn't really responding, that in the future their lies would get bigger.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah, because it's kind of like that emotion, that guilt, that kind of keeps you from telling the big lies, right?
Right.
But then when that emotion dulls and you don't feel that guilt,
right,
then you're just like, oh, no big deal.
Nothing's holding me back.
Right.
Yeah.
And like we've been talking, it's with everything, right? With the food you eat, with coffee you drink, right? It's true. You know, the more you do it, the less, you know, the less of a big
response.
The less of a deal it is, right?
Yeah.
And that's why people get addicted to drugs,
mm-hmm.
you know? First time you do drugs, you feel really guilty
bad
and scared. Yeah, mm-hmm. And then you kind of get used to it and you do it and there have been studies about this. You kind of have to try something harder or something
right.
even more, you know,
Gives you more stimulus.
Right, to get the same kind of high, right? Yeah. That kind of emotion again, because you're kind of desensitized to it. And so you just kind of get into more and more dangerous things.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So there's a quote here from lead author Neil Garrett. And what does he say?
He says that, "I think this study's the first empirical evidence that dishonest behavior escalates when it's repeated." Mm-hmm. And when all else is held constant. So it ties this phenomenon to emotional adaptation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So finally, there's scientific evidence, right? Physical mm-hmm. evidence that ties this to emotional adaptation.
Right. So we see the word escalate here again. It just means that it gets bigger and bigger the more you do it, right? And we have empirical evidence. What are we talking about when we're talking about empirical evidence?
Well, just like Linda said, it's proof. It's actually physical proof. So here you're experiencing it through science rather than it just being a theory.
Right.
Like at the very beginning, you said, well, neuroscientists show how tiny fibs snowball into big lies. Hey, we all know that, mm-hmm. right? But now we actually have scientific proof.
Right, yeah. And it's always interesting to think how they set these things up, you know, to be like, okay, well, what are we going to study? What are we going to observe? You know, how are we going to create this situation to be able to test this theory? And so now we have scientific proof, actual proof that the more you do these bad behaviors, the more you do these transgressions, the less guilty you'll feel about them, mm-hmm. and the bigger and bigger the transgression will be. And now we kind of can understand why some people can steal,
mm-hmm.
some people can kill without any kind of remorse.
Right.
Right? I remember hearing about some of the famous criminals, you know, in the United States from, you know, decades and decades ago, and they would feel bad, you know, that people didn't respect them and honor them for all that they did, you know, and there were people that were killing people all over the place, you know.
Well, even nowadays, when they write about a crime that's happened, mm-hmm. and they talk about the criminal case,
mm-hmm.
and then they talk about what's happening in the courtroom, they usually refer to the offender, the criminal's behavior,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether he's remorseful for mm-hmm. what he did or whether he's completely not engaging at all, because they're trying to figure out, does the person feel sorry for mm-hmm. what they did or not?
Yeah. Mm. And I can't say across the board they don't, but, you know, a lot of people don't.
Mm-hmm.
They don't think they did anything bad.
Right.
Right.
You know?
If they've gotten to that point where they're so desensitized that, yeah, that they don't feel anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's really interesting what this study shows. And we have a final quote here from Garrett. He says, "I think it highlights the potential dangers of engaging in small acts of dishonesty on a regular basis." Yeah. So we have to remember, actually, that all habits stem from little behaviors,
mm-hmm.
right? Whether good or bad. And it's never like overnight we become a huge success or a huge failure,
mm-hmm.
right? It's just the little choices we make every day.
Right.
Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would. Like it says here, small acts on a regular basis,
mm-hmm.
right? So we even talk about, you know, forming a good habit.
Mm-hmm.
You need to keep doing it on a regular basis.
Yep.
And so I think this is the opposite of that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's very, what we would say, it's very subtle,
mm-hmm.
right? It gradually builds up. And I think that's why I like that phrase, dulling one's conscience,
mm-hmm.
because it does happen very subtly over a period of time.
Right.
I have a question for you two. Here we do, the article distinguishes small lies, you know, tiny fibs versus big lies. But do you guys distinguish, like, different levels of lies? Because I know, well, we say white lies, you
mm-hmm.
know, but in Chinese, there's actually, the term for white lies is actually, it's like an act of benevolence, like you're mm-hmm. helping the person by, you know, telling them this lie.
Mm-hmm.
So just wondering, do you guys distinguish, you know, do you believe that they're good lies, or do you think that any lie is wrong?
Good question.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that in the sense of benevolence before.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, like, let's say you ask me, you know, does this look good? You know?
And
I think
good.
It looks
I
horrible.
I don't
want to
hurt your feelings.
You know? Yeah. Right. I mean, I like you, I don't like to lie at all, you know, and even if it's like a little fib, like in that case, like, does this look good and it looks terrible? You know, I don't think I would ever straight up and be like, no, you look horrible, you know?
Right.
But I wouldn't say, sure, right. You look beautiful. You know, I would maybe like,
try to not say anything.
No, I would say like, well, you could try this. You know, why don't you try this?
Right.
You
avoid know? The question.
Avoid the question.
Yeah, that's one way of not having to lie. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I try not to lie. Mm. You know, I think, and I mean, in this case, it's just like, you know, if it, like stretching the truth, we say that too, right? You stretch the truth, you know.
It's that's just a euphemism.
Maybe the truth, but it's maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, a euphemism.
Yeah, stretching the truth. Yeah, that makes it sound so, you know, so not harmful, you know? Like yeah, right. No big deal.
Yeah.
But it's lying.
Yeah, it is lying. You know, and I do want to point out, and we're almost out of time, but I do want to point out that this can be used in the positive way. We said that earlier. This can be used in the positive way or the negative way, right? You know, like I said, you can develop some really good habits. And for those of you who want to succeed, you know, success is often at the edges of your comfort zone. You know, and the first time you try something, you're not going to be comfortable. And it's going to have that kind of same reaction where you're just feeling really bad. But the more you do it, the better you'll get. And the more you'll get more and more used to it. It's like learning English. The first time you try to speak it, you might mess up and make a fool of yourself, but the more you do it, the more comfortable you'll get and the better you'll be at it. So we just want to encourage you to keep going at the good stuff, be careful of the bad stuff, and come back again tomorrow for day two of our newsworthy clips. But for now, it's time for us to say goodbye. Thanks, friends. Bye.
Bye.